You might like to open your Bible, if you would, to Genesis chapter 2. Genesis chapter 2. Perhaps we could look to the Lord in a word of prayer. And our God and Father, thank you for your presence. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your outworking all of your wonderful plan and purpose, that we might know thee and honor thee, that we might be exposed more and more to your wonderful, wonderful, heavenly, happy holiness, God. Thank you. Thank you for being who you are. Help us even now. For all the children, the little ones, the sick, the needy, God, looking to you, in Christ's name, amen. In Genesis chapter 2, I would remind you in verse 7, 2 and in verse 7, God makes it clear, verse 7, and the Lord God formed him, to fashion, to make something, to make something like something else, fashion man. The Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground. The word dust has to do with stuff that's crushed, dry ground that's crushed. And the ground has to do with the earth, red, brown, ruddy earth. So what have we got? We've got God taking the ground, red, ruddy, brown earth, and it's dry, dusty. And God takes that in verse 7, and he breathes into it, into its nostrils. God forms it, fashions it as a man, and breathes into his nostrils, his nose, the breath of life. And man became a living soul. Now, hang on to dust, just so you appreciate that better. Over in chapter 3, and in verse 19. Remember now, because of sin, in the sweat of thy face, man, God in his mercy, judged, in mercy, saved us, helps us. In the sweat of thy face thou shalt eat bread, till thou return unto the ground, ground, ready, brown, dust. And for out of it wast thou taken. For dust, there's your word again, dust and ground. For dust thou art, and unto dust thou shalt return. So we're made of dust. We came from dust. We're going back to dust. So you don't get too high and mighty in yourself and say we're thus and thus. No, we're dust. And all of us would have to, whether we like it or not, attest to the fact that we are dust. And by that I mean, all you got to do is go to any kind of physical remains of humans or other and go and look. And if you could, and it would not be the normal thing to do, you would find that this flesh and blood body, even with all our efforts, becomes dust. Goes back to where it came from. All the elements in the ground, chemically and otherwise, are renewed. You are made. If we cremate you and bring you back down, you're just like that. Dust. So there's no argument. You can have one, but there's no point, because we are dust. So that's the starting point. We're dust. Secondly, I want you to keep in mind, Genesis chapter 1, and in verse 26 and 7. And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over cattle, and over all the earth, and every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female, God created them. God is preempting what he's going to do in chapter 2. And so God created man and man, and out of man came the female woman. Over in chapter 2, and in verse 22, and the rib, the side, 2 and 22, and the rib or the side which the Lord God had taken from man, made he a woman and brought her unto the man. So we're made of the dust of the ground in a most awesome way, and God breathes into the body the physical life, the breath of life, and the breathing in the breath of life so that we can exercise a life. The dust itself has no life, but God gives life, human life, soul, spirit, to the human body, to the person that lives in this body of dust. And God gives that kind of, and he made them male and female. Now, Adam and Eve sinned, and thus they lost their relationship to God. They don't have that at this point. So, God provided a saving solution for the outworking of his creative design and purpose. God isn't going to lose his design and purpose. And so, God, Adam and Eve, are separated from God, and they are given the assignment, they remember the assignment, to multiply and replenish the earth. But they are spiritually dead, Genesis 2 and 17. In dying, thou shalt die. So they died instantly in their relationship to God. They would die physically, and if they didn't come to know the Lord as a Savior, they would die spiritually. So, here in chapter 2 and in chapter 3 and verse 15, God provides a solution, a saving solution. And I will put enmity, hostility, between thee and the woman, the devil and the woman, and between thy seed, the devil's seed, and her seed, and he and it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. And thus the Lord, the devil, will seek to crucify Christ, and Christ will clobber the devil in judgment on Calvary's cross. Now, God has a solution to Adam and Eve's being separated. Remember the relationship. Death is the absence of life, the absence of life. So if I don't have, you know that I'm dead when I don't have life. Life is a relationship. When a person has physical life, they have physical relationship. And that's because, remember, a relationship, Latin, means to give back something, to connect, to reconnect. So that when you say you have a relationship to something or someone, that relationship shows itself. It has to show itself. God is giving and getting back. Relationships give and get back. Give and get back. Relationship. So you have a physical relationship. And thus, because you're in the body physically, you move your hands and mouth and eyes and all your body parts. When you are missing, you do not have a relationship to that body anymore. Your body lies still, lifeless, dead. It's dead. It has no relationship to you anymore. You are gone. A relationship to God means I have a life, God is life, as to his person, and to have a relationship to God in such a way so that what God is going to give us, life, and life expresses itself back to God. We're created in the image and likeness of God so that we can bring back to God, reflect like a mirror, to represent a testimony, to represent God. God in the human heart, God for the human heart, represents life. So now we have, what are we doing? We aren't exercising physical life, we're exercising spiritual life. We have a relationship to God and we exercise spiritual life. And thus, in our relationship to God, we're able to come to God with thanksgiving. We're able to look to God, talk to God, trust in God, lean upon God. In the wonderful presence of God, we have a relationship. Relationship means it has to be shown. If you have a relationship, show it. You go to work, you have a relationship to work. Work gives to you, you give to work, you see. Food, you have a relationship to food. Food comes in your body, the food goes in the body, the food goes in the body, and you take the food, and the food is digested, absorbed, assimilated into your body, blood, and it has a relationship. It has to show itself, relationship. Now, having said that, to give back. Thus, over in Genesis chapter 3, picking up, please, in verse 20. And Adam called his wife's name Eve. Why is that? Because she was the mother of all living. Now, what you want to keep in mind is that they were alive, and then they know death. So for Adam to go and name his wife woman, that's a step of faith. He's believing God is going to give them life by way of Genesis 3:15. The seed of the woman, the Lord Jesus Christ, is going to come and die on the cross. And Adam and Eve believe God. They're trusting what God is going to do for them. They never had a child. There's no such thing as a little child. The two of them were created out of the dust of the ground, Adam and Eve. And God did that. Adam, what are you going to do? I'm going to show. Adam believes God. And thus, Adam called his wife's name Eve. Eve, Eve. And in calling his wife's name Eve, it means to become. The word Eve means to breathe out, to live out. The living one, the propagator of life. Life, life, the living one. Eve, the living one. And the living one, she was, and named Eve, because she was to be, the verb to be, to exist. She, the living one, it was to be, was to become the mother, the life of all living. So Eve is the believing God. We're all dead. And you believe God. We do. And out of me, I am going to be the mother of all the living. I am going to give life to I'm going to give life to people and to children, Cain, Abel, etc. And I'm going to give life. I'm the Eve, mother of all living. Wow. She's the source of all physical life. That's right. And you and I are all related back to Adam and Eve. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, if you would, it's the opposite. Death, remember, death is the opposite of life, and God gives hope and life and expectancy, and Adam and Eve believe God, and it is counted to them for righteousness. They're going to believe God, and God's going to honor it. Persons are witnesses, all humans witness of their mother. There's no human on earth that doesn't witness to a mother. The mother has to be somewhere. And all mothers are the basis of all persons. Persons, that's called marriage. Mothers are the basis of all humans. Mothers are. Eve, mother, the mother, the life giver of all the living ones. Now, and thus God has not changed. Adam and Eve's sin did not change. No, God had a plan, wonderful program. God had planned for man, woman, parents, and for mothers. And mothers would be the source of each and every person born on the face of the earth. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, over, if you would, to Exodus chapter 20. So mothers, Eve, the mother. No one's on earth that isn't of the mother. And that includes the wonderful, perfect humanity of our Lord Jesus Christ, born by way of the Spirit of God, apart from man, but born of a woman, of a woman. Now, so, over if you would to Exodus and chapter 20, and you'll remember, if you would, on the commandments in Exodus 20, and the fifth commandment, which is verse 12, honor thy, remember the first four have to do with God, the last six having to do with humans. And the verse 12, or the fifth commandment, is the bridge. You want to just, if you think of it in your mind, here's the first four commandments, and there's a bridge, the bridge, and the bridge, how do people go to get to God? By way of parents. Over here, how do humans, where do they come from? They came from God. And the bridge is the mother and father. You have to have a mother and father. You have to have a seed. You have to have an egg. You have to have it. It's the only way. And the bridge. Otherwise, we're just evolved, and that isn't true. Thus, in chapter 20, the commandment, because it's the bridge, you want to understand why you're here. You're here because a mother gave you birth, life, physical life. Thus, in verse 12, honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Honor thy father and thy mother. Value, weight, high, putting a high value, the word honor, to become heavy, worthy, valued, having great value, place great value in the fact that you were born a human by way of a mother. You could have been born a giraffe. How about that? You could have been born a canary. You could have been born whatever, from a physical standpoint, and you would miss out. Also, you could have not been born, and then you miss out. Exodus chapter 20. Thus, honor thy father and thy mother. Honor them. The arrangement, it's a relationship. A relationship to the parents. The parents have a relationship to God, and they tie the bridge, it ties together. Thus, what are we going to do? Eve, the mother of all living, we came from a mother, a woman. Now, Exodus 21, how serious is this and how profitable is it? Exodus 21, picking up, please, verse 15, you know, right off after the commandments, going directly, if I may, in the light of the context. Verse 15, 21. He that smiteth his father or his mother shall surely be put to death. Verse 17. He that curseth his father or his mother shall surely be put to death. How important is it to understand and honor where you're the result of a mother and father. You're the result of a mother. The mother produces out of the, you came a living, physical, human being. You want to understand what you are. If you're going to come and try to handle things as in a religious way, a political way, as an animal, how will you do? If you thought you were a kangaroo, would you tell me how you'd run the government? It may be pretty good. I didn't mean that as a thought. Wow. An animal. You want an animal. You want one. So you don't honor God. There's no religion. There's no politic. Nothing. God made you a human, a very special creature. And you don't want to lose why you're special. Why are you special? You came from a mother, a woman made of the dust of the earth. You are dust. You're going back to dust. All the realities are there if we but look at them and face up to them in a good way. Thus, God said, you'll surely be put to death. Over, if you would please, to tie that together, to Proverbs, if you would, and chapter 30, you might expect. Proverbs chapter 30. And in Proverbs chapter 30, in listing, it lists four, the word, you'll see it, Proverbs 30, verse 11. You'll see the word generation, verse 12, generation, verse 13, generation, verse 14, generation. The word generation means age, 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 race, race, kind, kind. A classification. Humans can be classed into four ways, under four conditions. Verse 11. There is a generation, an age, a class, a race. There is a generation that curseth father and doth not bless their mother. A generation. If you would remember, without taking time, 2 Timothy chapter 3, etc. Romans chapter 1, but 2 Timothy chapter 3 in particular, they are not in, when we're at the end of the age, where we're headed here, they are not going to honor parents. They're not going to love parents. They aren't going to do it. It's going to be a generation that curseth parents for all practical purposes. It isn't profitable to them. So, in the light of that, in the generation, as things go, woman, no one has life apart from mother, physical life, from a human mother. Now, over in Psalm 27, humans fail. Humans fail. Society doesn't do well all the time, to say the least. And thus, in the process, God, things don't always go so good when it comes to family, mother, father. And in chapter 27, Psalm 27, I should say, picking up, please, in verse 8, when thou saidest, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. Hide not thy face far from me. Put not thy servant away in anger. Thou hast been my help. Leave me not, neither forsake me, O God of my salvation. When my father and mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. God, I'm here. I'm here, God. You are the reason. The parents, mother and father, are the bridge to get to God. The first four commandments up here to get to God. Thou shalt honor the Lord thy God with all thy heart, etc. No images, no idols, no material, anything. God, the invisible creator, the infinite invisible creator. Honor him. And we would want to honor him. When father and mother may fail, but they may fail, but God, their purpose, they gave me life so that I could know you. I could know you, God. I didn't get physical life just to live and be from the dust, for the dust, and back to dust. God, there must be more than that. There is. It's about you, God. It isn't about just physical life. It's about spiritual life. A life with you, God. That's what you made us for. So, God, here we are. We're going to get up there, and we're going to come when father and mother disappear. God, you're there, because that's the whole point, not father and mother. It's you that created us. And thus, when father and mother forsake, God, you're there to take me up. You're there to make the difference, God. I understand why I'm here. I've been given physical life that I can know spiritual life. And therefore, the generation that doesn't honor mother and father, and mother and father that don't honor their mother and father, produces a generation that is more harmful, is more destructive, they don't care, produces a generation that is less and less caring. Mother and father, less and less important. They aren't important. Life isn't that way. But, it really is. So, God, you care. When mother and father are gone, that's right. You do, because you made us for them. So a generation that doesn't honor God will produce another generation that doesn't honor God. So somewhere the generation has to awaken to the fact that God is God, to know him. And thus, God, you separate us in a most wonderful way in our life, in our heart, to know you in a most productive way. Thus, God, in tying it together so you don't lose the point here, in getting sidetracked. God, what have you done? Well, God has done something wonderful for us and given us physical life by way of a woman, by way of a mother. And we have that physical life, God. We do. Now, God, you've done something else. Why did you do this? So that you would understand the mother. The mother is the source of all life. Now, over to John, the Gospel of John. Gospel of John and chapter 3. Gospel of John, chapter 3. And keeping in mind, mother, we don't want to lose, woman, life. John chapter 3. And picking up, please, in verse 5. Jesus answered, verily, verily, most assuredly, amen, amen, I say unto you, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit of God, the Spirit, you cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. There's a wonderful thing you do, God. Now, a woman, mother, gave us physical life. Why did she give us? Why do we have physical life? Why are we dust, a living, walking, breathing vessel, vehicle of dust? Why are we like that? Because God made it so wonderfully. You meant us to have life. Sin came along and took it away from us. You have made it possible in the Lord by the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ to provide us life, to give us life back. In the person of your Son, God, you've done that. So that Adam and Eve and everyone all the way down the road can believe and look to you, and you would give them the wonderful privilege of your saving grace, and you would save them. Save them, and you gave them, like in the Old Testament, you gave checks. And when they believed, you gave it. They had a check, and the check couldn't be cashed, signed by God. The check couldn't be cashed until Christ died on the cross. So they were all waiting for the check. They knew it was going to be paid, going to be covered. The checks are covered. The sacrifice that you're looking for is going to be covered by not of animals, but by the Son of God himself. The bill is going to be paid. The price is going to come forth. The cost, the high cost of you having another life, physical life, the spiritual life, the life I wanted you to have. I provided it in my Son. Spiritual life. Now you have physical life, so you can have spiritual life. And if all you have is physical life, all you have, then here you are, sin, sorrow, suffering, and people go along and they get a job, go to school, depending on what culture, what part of the world you're in, and you get a job and you do whatever, and you grow up in the confusion and chaos and everything going on in the world and wherever, depends what part of the world you live in and what part of history, time you live in. There were, 5 wars going on now, going on in the world. Depends where you live. And so, God, what have we got? Well, we're getting there. We have a little peace, a little prosperity. We feel good, and we're doing all right. And we get a paycheck, maybe, or something, and we're trying to make it work. And then, but in the meanwhile, being dust, we're getting older, and we get older and older and older and younger. What difference does it make whether you're young or old? You're all in the process of dying. And so, God, here we are, and we have a great, isn't it wonderful to be 20? Rip roaring 20. Yay! But then you hit 30. 40. 50. Gets hard, huh? And you know, your hearing was good. You could hear 3 miles away a cricket. Wow. Your eyesight was 5.5. Wow. Now you're trying to find the doorknob. That's all we've got. If we stop at physical life, which is what God gave us, And we don't understand the mother. The mother gave me physical life so that I could have physical life, so I could get to the God who gave mother, who gave me life in the first place, to have his kind of life. And if I lose him, or if I don't get to him properly, then my whole life is going to be, I'm from the dust, I am dust, I'm going back to the dust, and you can put on my tombstone, dust. Back to where I came from. God, there has to be more than that. To retire. To retire for what? To get old for what? What are you going to do? What's it all about? What's it all about? It has to be more than what we think it is, what the world thinks it is. It's more about, it's a wonderful thing about a life, God, not physical life, a life, a relationship to you, relationship you give to us, yourself, and we find ourselves able to give ourselves back to you. And we have a unique relationship, Father-child, Father-son. In the Son of God, we become sons, children of God. Wow, a relationship. We can draw from your wonderful person and presence, your power, your peace, your provision, your grace, your mercy, your kindness. We can draw from it. We can draw from you, our God, the love that you have for us. You love us because we love you, because you first loved us. And we're able to give back to you that love, back to you, back to you, a relationship, working relationship. Thus, one of life, life, the Spirit of God. God, that's your ministry, to give that kind of life. By the way, I'm interested, the Spirit of God, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. But, you know, God the Holy Spirit, you hardly get any notoriety in church or anywhere. And yet you're the key. No one bothers to thank you for who you are and what you do. You are absolutely essential for everything in creation. You make it all work. You do. You make it all function. It is your job to administer life in the creation. Sun, moon, stars, all of it, and in humans, in animals. You make it possible, God. That's right. God does. But you know you don't get any thanksgiving. You're never recognized, never honored. And yet you consistently keep on keeping on. You do the job you're supposed to do. With no thanksgiving, little appreciation, you are the source of spiritual life. And women, mothers, it's a thankless job, basically, isn't it? I think it is. I mean, all women. Women, do you do laundry, women? Do you cook and dishes and you do things? Don't you do all that? You do. And when's the last time someone said, thank you for fixing my cereal. Thank you for buying milk so we have some for the cereal. Thank you for doing the laundry. Thank you for making my bed. Thank you for picking my pajamas up off the floor. Thank you. Thank you. There's no thanks, very rarely. And I would give you my testimony. I wish I had, when I was a little boy, I wish I had appreciated my mom and dad, mom in this case. I wish I had. She did, broke her back for me. And I didn't have any appreciation of it. I did. I look back and say, what a dumb thing you were. That's me. What a dummy. When I got older, I woke up. It took a bit. At least I woke up. What happens if I stayed asleep? I woke up. God, they do so much. Spirit of God, you are wonderful, but you don't get any recognition. You are absolutely essential for spiritual life. And thus, God, we're looking to you. And as you know, you're the controlling power. You're the controlling living one that makes all of life possible. Thus, keeping in mind the effect, EFF, The affect, A-F-F, affect, effect, both. Spirit of God, you make life happen. Effectively, effectively. That's right. Do you know gunpowder in bullets? Gunpowder in bullets does a wonderful thing in influencing us. And in the gunpowder in the bullet gives the bullet direction in the gun barrel. The gun barrel, dear friend, gives it out there. Gunpowder was a major event, invention of gunpowder, in war, W-A-R, war, gunpowder was. But you know, the gunpowder itself, it was the direction of the barrel that sent the bullet in the right direction. Do you know the great engines in ships, powerful engines, massive engines, and do you know they're full of power and control? That's right. But you know, it's that little rudder in back that steers the ship silently. No big to-do. It just turns and steers the ship. It isn't the power. No, the engine is. The engine. Wow. God, you're the one that makes it all work in behind the scenes. Mothers, that's what you are, behind the scenes. And behind the scenes, and you don't want to say, well, we'll catch it in just a sec. And Lucifer, son of the morning, what do you want to do? The devil himself. What did the devil do? Who did he start with? Adam? Who did he get to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil? He didn't get Adam. No, sir, he went to the woman. He went to the woman. The way to get to humans is get to the woman. Get to the woman. The woman is the life. She's the mother. She's the life giver. Get to the woman. And the devil did it, you know. The devil did it. Cunning, crafty. He did his job. And so here, all of history goes by, you know. And when you look at history and consider women, mothers, and you read the pages of history, they all attest to the fact that women get it. And the devil hates the influence of women. Just hates the influence of women. So if I can make women, get them out of sync, get them out of harmony, I've got the whole society's gone if I get women. And so when Satan's power is the greatest, you will find women's place at the lowest. Where Satan's power is way up, look at the place of women, and you'll know his power in that culture. When moral darkness, there it is, and moral darkness comes along and controls and prevails. What are we going to tag? Who's going to get it in the neck? The woman is the sure victim in moral corruption. The woman is. Woman, the bottom. That's right. Why? Because she's the source. Mother of life, physical life. And so the devil comes along and tries to do everything. And how do we, using the women? Women. And think of all the women's groups, from Islam to our own country, where women are all frustrated. Not all of them, but people are frustrated with what's going on. And they have now groups and then groups and all kinds of groups and all kinds of things going on, trying to figure out and trying to find something. Where in a normal, healthy arrangement, it's wonderful to be a woman. It's wonderful to be a man. It's wonderful to be a wife. It's wonderful to be a husband. It isn't wrong. It's the way. It's God's way. Wow. Now, what does the devil do? How are we going to know any society, any mood of our own country? You take the temperature. You take the thermometer and read the temperature of what's going on with women. For barometer, read the atmosphere. What's going on in our world? What's going on in our country? Go take a look at where the women are, and you'll have a good clue of where the who the power is and what's going on. Now, having said that, and keeping that in the forefront, if you would, in the light of mother. And our Lord Jesus said, you know, he said to John, his mother stood there, the cross, and mother looking, and the Lord Jesus corrected her very quickly. He said, John, behold your mother. The Lord Jesus Christ was the God-man. John, if you need a mother, John, here you are. She can be your mother. She cannot be my mother. I'm God. I created her. I made her of the dust of the ground. I made her to be the source, the mother of all physical life. Wow. Now, thus in the process, Adam believed God. To say mother with a fresh thinking, fresh and right thinking. So I want to say, mother, I know things aren't always good, and especially today, every day, actually, every year, every lifetime. But in our day, we aren't helping. The family life isn't being helped. It isn't being helped. And it's hard just doing the whole business of family living, to say the least. But you know, you need to think right and understand right. You could have had a terrible mother. You might not even know your mother. But at the very least, honor the fact that you did have a mother. Honor the fact that that's how you got here, by a mother. Bad mother, good mother, what? You have a mother, and you don't want to disconnect wrongly from her. You don't want to throw her out. You want to keep her in the right place in your mind. Honor thy father and mother. Realize why you're here. You came from humans. Adam and Eve started the ball game going, and you're the result. You have physical life so that you can have spiritual life. Don't lose that. And if you disconnect, then you get sour on mother, sour on father. You get sour on marriage. You get sour on the whole thing. And when you do that, would you tell me how you're going to get to God? Because you already discounted yourself as disconnected, not relating. You're disconnected from the whole business of creation with all of its problems. You disconnected yourself. And you're going to have problems when you do that. And therefore, my mother, I don't want to lose the message of a mother. I don't want to lose the understanding of mother. Because of my mother, I am here. I am one of those whosoevers that could believe because of my mother. I am able to believe and be saved because of my mother. She may be alive. I'm a person. I am able to know the greatness of God, the plan of God, the purpose of God because of my mother. I'm able to know it. I'm able to have a wonderful partnership with God, a wonderful living relationship with God forever and ever and ever. Therefore, I'm going to honor mother. I'm going to honor my life. I'm from human life, father and mother. I'm going to honor my mother. I'm going to keep understanding I have physical life. When you think of mother, think of your physical life. No matter how high or low it is, think of mother. You are the result of a mother. You lose that, then you're an overgrown weed, the result of a chemical action. Zero. You're nothing. Nothing at all. No wonder communism, dialectic materialism, Freudian psychology, all of it can wipe us out because we aren't. That's why communists could kill millions of people. Millions. Not thousands. Millions of people. Because they're just plants that are unfunctional. No more functional. Overgrown weeds. And if you feel that way about people, which is evolution. And I don't know anyone. I never met an evolutionist, and I've known some. And I've never met an evolutionist who wanted to say he was an overgrown weed or the result of a chemical reaction. They want to believe in evolution, but they don't want to believe what it means. It means that you're nothing. You're nothing at all. But I am something. Ah, that's because you know you're something. And you need to honor the God who made you something. so that you can have the life that God meant you to have. God gave you physical life so that you could know him in a wonderful way. Thus, to be the person God meant you to be. Thank you, God, mother. So I always know why mother. Whenever I think of my life, physical life, I think of my mother. My mother, I have life because of her. And God, because I have a mother that gave me life, I understand that God, you made her and made me so that I could have spiritual life. A unique, wonderful relationship to who you are, God. It's a wonderful thing. And God, I don't want to be, if I was a mother, a woman, I don't want to feel left out. Don't do that. Please don't do that. I don't feel unwanted. Don't do that. Don't do that to yourself. Unneeded. Don't do that. I'm all alone. Not quite. You want to understand that God cares. God cares in a wonderful way. God's grace is wonderful. Would you go over with me, please, over in your Bible to 1 Peter 5, what we think of it. At least 1 Peter 5. And picking up, if I can, in verse 7, remember the Spirit of God does all kinds of things to, he doesn't get any credit, he just keeps doing them because it's the way to have life. And women, you have to be what you are. Don't get all caught up in the stupidity of our day. Be a woman, be a mother, be a person. Enjoy being who you are. Don't try to be something you aren't. No matter what anyone says, no matter what the gobbledygook is that comes your way, roll up your sleeves and go with it. No matter how messy, no matter how difficult, no matter how whatever. God, I'm here, and you gave me physical life. And I want to exercise that physical life in such a way that I'm able to honor you. And in honoring you, I'm able to tell the world why I'm here. Not only my mother. God, I'm here because I have physical life and I can know you as my Lord and Savior. And you give me a safety, a sanity. You give me a satisfaction that I can handle life with all of its ups and downs and all of its badness and difficult and hardness, blood, sweat, and tears. God, your life makes possible my life in this life. True. 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5, please, and verse, going directly in light of the context, verse 7. Casting all your care, 5:7, in the light of the devil, in the light of the problems, having a humbled heart. Casting all your care, verse 7, casting all your care. All your care upon him. Why am I going to give and throw upon him? Put all of my care, all my anxiety, all the things I worry about, wonder about, I'm going to put all of them upon you, God. That's right. Because he careth. The word care means to surround, preposition, to come and surround you, to surround you with himself, to surround you. God comes around you. You're caring. You're giving it all to him. And God surrounds you with his care, his keeping, his grace. Wow. I'm able to care in a careless world because God cares for us. And we can handle it, lousy as it may be, as good as it may be. God, we're going to trust you. Thus, over in closing, Galatians. Galatians, if you would. Remember, the Spirit of God's ministry is to make a wonderful, saving, safe, satisfying, successful relationship so that we can handle this one on earth. Thus, Galatians, if I may, in chapter 1, picking up, please, verse 16. Paul came to know the Lord as a Savior. What does it mean to know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? To reveal, verse 16, to reveal his Son, the revelation of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ in me. Paul received the Lord Jesus Christ as his Savior on the Damascus Road, going to persecute and kill Christians. And he got saved. And what happened? Well, he received the Lord Jesus Christ into his heart, into his life as his Savior. And something wonderful happened to him. Verse 24. And they glorified God. God, I received the Lord Jesus Christ, God, God's saving grace, the life of God, in the life of Christ. Christ brings me the life of God. Christ in you, the hope of glory. The Christ in you, Christ who is your life, thus in me. Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. What is the believer going to say? Mother, woman, whoever. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. God, I have a wonderful life to be able to tackle this life. And that's what it's all about. Otherwise, I'd have no eternity. I'd have no existence. You gave me physical existence so that I could have spiritual life by way of the mother. Thus, the heart cry of the Spirit of God who gets no thanksgiving, very rarely, no honor, respect for him at all. But he does his job. Wow. God, what is it with us believers, those who know the Lord as a Savior? Chapter 4, you know. Chapter 4, verse 19. Paul, being a believer and understanding the purpose of physical life to know spiritual life, God, what do you know? My little children, verse 19, of whom I travail in birth, birth pangs, the trouble of giving birth, trouble in giving birth, until I'm in travail, birth pangs, until Christ be formed in you. In other words, I want the relationship not just to sit there, I want the relationship to work. Christ in you. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. A unique relationship. You, the Son of God for you, a Son of God, to enjoy the Father in a very productive way. And how did that happen? Well, my mother gave me physical life so that I could know all that. Wow. God, is that what you're after? It is. It is. It is. All temporal relationships are coming to an end. True? Mother, father, brother, sister, husband, wife. You go to the grave, you go to the dust, they're all over. No more. Finished. These are all temporal. God's offering you eternal relationship. And the eternal relationship enables you to handle the temporal ones. Do you understand? Our Father and God, we look to you and God, help us and thank you. God, what do we know? God, deal with us and honor yourself, honor your presence, honor your person. God, take care of it. Help every boy, girl, man, woman, and think of them all across the world in these days. God, deal with us, deal with them. Thank you very, very much that we can look to you. Thank you for having physical life. Thank you that we can say, think, talk, walk. God, thank you so that we can understand we have physical life. This physical life in order to know you who is life eternal. God, thank you very, very much. And for those who know you not as Lord and Savior, convince them, Spirit of God, that they would receive the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. God, thank you for all that you're doing. Encourage every dear woman. Encourage every dear believer. Encourage every heart that they might come to you and honor you, God. In Christ's name, amen. Perhaps we could sing.